بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 16th of October in the year 2020 Alhamdulillah, I spent a few sessions discussing the importance of preparing for the eternal life. So there's a very interesting verse in the Quran. In Surah Hud, alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 11, verse 6. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا And there is none clinging to the earth, but the sustenance of that is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty. So in this holy verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anything that's clinging to the earth, it is upon me to provide them with rizq. So reflect. The Almighty and Glorious has promised rizq to everyone. But He has not promised forgiveness for everyone. Therefore, how unwise is the Muslim who strives day and night for that which is already promised, but does not make any effort for that which is not assured, i.e. forgiveness. Thus we make such effort for our rizq as if we have not been promised it. But we live carelessly as if we are assured forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So again, this is classic example of ignorance. People distant from the Quran. You see a person working and it's like he's not been promised his rizq. He's actually given that impression. But Allah ta'ala clearly says that anything that clings to the earth, ilallahi rizquha, illa alallahi rizquha, the rizq is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, yes, but once you have that in your mindset, you don't really worry too much about it. But what we have not been promised is forgiveness. So if we're not being promised forgiveness, logically we should be striving for that. And what do? The complete opposite. It's like we are assured forgiveness even though we're not. And when it comes to our rizq, we have not been promised. So this shows there's madness in many of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Good deeds are thus the true capital of those with any intellects. Why? Because Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Surah Al-Zukhruf, Surah 43, verse 72, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ This is the garden you will be made to inherit for what you did. This is the garden you will be made to inherit for what you did. So what did you do? Deeds. And also in another verse in Surah Al-Haqqah, Surah 69, verse 24, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيًّا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْعِيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ Eat and drink with relish for what you did before in the days gone by. So look at these two beautiful verses. In Surah 43, verse 72, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the paradise you have inherited, ta'amaloon, for what you did. So what was the wealth which caused your entrance into paradise? Your deeds. And in the other verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, eat and drink with relish for what you did before in days gone by. And one of the commentaries of this verse is talking about fasting. So note, Allah is telling you that your capital is deeds. That is what takes you to paradise. Hafiz ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayhi, he relates in his Al-Mahajjah fi Sayr al-Dunya, the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, page 20 of the English translation. Entry into paradise is accorded by His mercy. But the assignment and ranking and station in paradise is done in accordance to the deeds performed. Recorded by Hafiz ibn Hajar in his Fath al-Bari 11-295 relates this from Ibn Battal, rahmatullah alayh. Ibn Uyayna said, rahmatullah alayh, They were of the opinion that salvation from the fire occurs through the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Entry into paradise occurs by His grace. And the apportioning of ranking occurs in accordance to one's deeds. But this is important. Yes, the Quran says you've inherited paradise by your deeds. Yes, the Quran says eat and drink with relish for what you did before. But this does not mean that your deeds entitle you to paradise. The scholars say entry into paradise is divine mercy. But the assignment and ranking is related to your deeds. So this is interesting. So to get to paradise, nobody can earn it. But we can, or we have some say with regards to the ranks. And then Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, salvation from the fire occurs due to forgiveness. And the only one who can forgive is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, how true were the words of Imam Awza'i, who said, rahmatullah alayh, the believer speaks a little and acts a great deal, whilst the hypocrite speaks a great deal and does little action. Recorded by Hafiz Zahabi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Sir 7-133. So the Mujtahid Imam, Imam Awza'i, he said, this is the believer. He doesn't talk much, but he does a lot. Why? Because he realizes the value is in deeds. But the munafiq is the opposite. He talks and talks, but he does very little in terms of his actions. And Hasan al-Basri said, rahmatullah alayh, in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, the knowledge of the believer is in his actions. The knowledge of the hypocrite is in his speech. So if you want to know where knowledge is, the knowledge is in deeds. And the knowledge of the hypocrite is in his speech. So speech would never impress the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever. But they would be very impressed with deeds. But be honest, are we like that? People who talk very eloquent, they affect you. And yet, why have they affected you? That's just speech. And when you see a person doing the various good deeds, why doesn't that affect you? Because that is knowledge. This reality was forcefully highlighted by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, were a servant to remain in the state of prostration from the day he was born to the day he dies an old man, in devout obedience to Allah the Mighty and Magnificent, he would still consider that insignificant on the day of judgment and would thus wish to return to this world so that he may increase in reward. This is recorded in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 17,650. Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Al-Targhib, number 3,597. So this is a hypothetical. Obviously, a child can't go straight into prostration and then stay in prostration until he dies of old age. It's impossible. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if that was possible, think about that. A child's born straight into prostration. Doesn't need to eat or drink or somehow Allah Ta'ala sustaining it, and it dies from old age and prostration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that man would still think, rubbish. I need to go back to the world to increase in my ibadat. So what was the Holy Prophet highlighting? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speech. Right? He was highlighting that it's your deeds. However, you're always going to be in regret. You're going to always think of those wasted moments, thinking I could have done this, I could have done that, I could have done this, I could have done that. Thus inevitably, some will grieve more than others on that awesome inevitable day, on why they had not performed more of the pure and the good. So we're all going to grieve. So let's look at an example of this to highlight how we should be thinking. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, was he martyred? Yes. So the Prophet said he's a martyr. When he's on the mountain, Mount Uhud sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, why are you shaking? On you there's a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Siddiq and martyrs, Umar and Uthman. The Holy Prophet said they're martyrs. When he lay martyred, who said these words? In Sahih Bukhari. Oh, how I wish to meet my Lord. I would have loved to have wished to meet my Lord with nobody's deeds other than this man's. Ali. Umar is martyred. Right? He's not going to praise himself. Right? So Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that. Now look at the words he's uttered. He said, "Oh, how I wish I could meet my Lord with what? With the deeds of this man." So let me ask you a question. Was Ali not, was his pedal not to the metal? Was he like me and you chilling out in his life? What did he say? What deeds had he performed up to that point, the great Sayyidina Ali? What had he realized? Umar is accelerated well ahead of him. And he said, even though he had another 17 years left to live, and just imagine what he did in those 17 years. He said, if I meet my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the deeds of this man, I'm successful. So what was he forcefully highlighting? First, his love for Sayyidina Umar, which is important to highlight. And secondly, what we are supposed to be doing at this respected time on the earth. Have you understood? What we're supposed to be doing on this earth, and it's to do with deeds. This is again highlighted by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. How strange thus are many from the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that they are sluggish in performing good deeds, but conversely resolute in sinning. Have they not heard the warning from our beloved messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he say? Woe to those who persist and insistently continue in whatever they are involved in. Woe to those who persist and insistently continue in whatever they are involved in. This is in Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 380. And look how tragic. What did the Prophet say? You're sinning. He didn't say sin. You insist, you persist. Look how disastrous that is. You're supposed to be doing that with good deeds. The last place you're supposed to persist and be, you know, on it, on a bonnet is sins. You're thinking, look, that should be a one-off. It should be a time of, you know, repentance and, you know, grief. And yeah, what did the Prophet say? Wail, a valley in hell to those who persist and insistently continue in whatever evil they are involved in. Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi, he elucidated in Fath al-Bari, volume 1, page 181. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against the persistence upon evil without repenting. For persistence in sin directly leads towards leaving Islam in its entirety. Astaghfirullah. For persistence in sin directly leads towards leaving Islam in its entirety. So what did Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali say? Because if you persist in sin and you have got no intention of repentance, it is highly likely you're going to die as a kafir. Because of your persistence. Think about that. What does shaitan do people need to drink? Because Allah Ta'ala is forgiving. He's forgiven greater sinners than you. What are you worried about? Carry on. And that's his trick. He's got many weapons in his sleeve. And that's one of them. And the Prophet warned you about that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another narration which people don't understand. In Tirmidhi, number 2640, our beloved messenger famously warned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not laugh much, for indeed excessive laughter kills the heart. So how many of you have heard this hadith? Many of us have heard this hadith. What does it mean? So a person goes, well, if you laugh too much, it has a bad impact on the heart. And actually, to repeat the hadith, I said, what does it mean? The meaning is profound. Hafiz As-Sana'ani, rahmatullah alayh, he elucidated in his At-Tanwir Sharh Al-Jami As-Saghir, volume 8, page 241. Excessive laughter creates a joy and inclination towards the world, thus attaching him to further towards it. Whereas the life and eternal comfort of the heart is in its distance from this world and its love towards the worship and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preparing for the eternal life of the hereafter. People don't know what they're doing. So what did the Shaykh say? Why is it so harmful to the heart? Because when you excessively love, you're getting attached to dunya. And if you think about it, that's 100% true. Why can't you stop laughing? It's dunya. And you're getting attached to dunya. So when you attach to dunya, what's happening to the heart? The heart wants to be attached to its true home. Paradise, you're taking it away. So what did the Prophet say? He didn't give you the bayan. All he said was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not laugh much, for excessive laughter kills the heart. He just gave you the answer. And people don't see the harm in it. What's the harm in laughing with it? If there was no harm, then why is the Prophet mentioning it? But note, he said excessive, meaning that you can laugh. But when you just, you know, like they call jokers, they're always laughing. And then you say, brother, this is very dangerous. And how do you feel after the bout of laughter? You know, you look interesting. First, you feel good. Because endorphin kicking, you know, usual rubbish. Right? And then after about an hour, what happens? You need paracetamol. Got a headache, feels, you know, feel a bit weak, I feel my head spinning. Why? Because you are having a good laugh. It's attaching you to dunya, and your heart is now suffering because of it. Astaghfirullah. So why am I mentioning all this? Look at the illnesses. We've got all the illnesses, but when it comes to the medicine, not interested. Simply put, excessive laughter breeds love of this lowly world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. I mean, that's why the Prophet never laughed. Look at the hadith, because his laughter was a smile. Only see his teeth. Why? He wanted nothing to do with the world. But you do get hadiths where it says he laughed, but the Sahaba explained it. Many just, you saw his teeth. That's all. And the back of his blessed mouth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, laughter. Thus it is essential we constantly what? Remember our mortality. For no other than our beloved messenger encouraged, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember death abundantly. For to remember it wipes away sins. And also makes one abstentious in the world. Subhanallah. Recorded by Ibn Abi Dunya in his Al-Mut, Imam Sayyuti in his Jami As-Saghir 2-208, Hafiz Zabidi in his Al-Ithaf 10-228, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya in the chapter on Zikr Al-Mut, Remembrance of Death, page 10 of the New English Translation. So let's look at this. People have every right to ask you, why are you so focused on death? Isn't that you'll make you miserable? The response is, they've asked a good question, don't get angry over that. They go, why are you so obsessed about, why are you always talking about death? Why not talk about life? So the first response is, it's a command. If Rasulullah commands something, we need to do it. But then he told you why. This is what people need to highlight. What's the first reason you remember death abundantly? What did the Prophet say? What does it do? No, that was the second. It wipes away your sins. You can be listening when I'm mentioning the hadith of the Prophet. No point nodding your head and not listening, right? Remembering death abundantly takes away sins. Then he said, and makes one abstentious in the world. So don't we need our sins to be forgiven? Remembering death, Allah forgives, even though you're not asking forgiveness. He likes it when you talk about death. We're doing it now. Alhamdulillah, Allah has forgiven our sins without asking. Inshallah. Secondly, you start hating dunya. The Prophet goes, that's what causes it. Don't you want to have that? Somebody goes, look, I'm drowning in dunya. He's giving you the answer. But the condition is, remember death abundantly. Not just, you know, anyway, oh, I'm going to die. And then 2 minutes later, you start talking about football again. Right? Remember death abundantly. Then you will have that. It's basically the elixir for the heart. It will sort you out. It'll wake you up. Like you get some, you shake him and he wakes him up. Simply put, the frequent remembrance of death is a much needed elixir for most of our spiritual ailments. What was the famous wording of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He goes, remember frequently the destroyer of pleasures. Why didn't he say death? It's famous hadith in Nasa'i Sahih. He could have said death, but how is he describing death now? The destroyer of pleasures, meaning I know why you're not remembering death, because you're playing, you know, that game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And guess what? He goes, something's going to destroy that. He's going to root it. You completely rip it out of the ground. What rips all of your enjoyment? Death. And how symbolic is that? Like the soul being ripped out of the body. But what did the Prophet say? Remember frequently. He said it again. He didn't just, you know, have a little think about it every now and again. He goes, then it will have an impact. Question. What did I mention? If you laugh a lot, Your heart's getting weak. You're not remembering death. Oh my God. You're taking bleach, domestos, right? You're just kidding yourself. I need some antidote. What's the antidote? The Prophet is telling you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the same theme, our beloved messenger also encouraged. Look at the words, very interesting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wash your dead. For truly in the touching of an empty body, there is an eloquent lesson. Look at the word he's using, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wash your dead. For truly in the touching of an empty body, there's an eloquent lesson. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 1-337, 4-330, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 112 of the New English Translation. Think about that. How did the Prophet describe the dead person? He goes, it's a shell. When you're washing the body, you notice he's gone. What is this? Right? And the Prophet said, there is an intelligent lesson in this. But you have to touch it. So what? How do you touch the dead body? By watching it. He didn't just say, look at it. And it's true. If you look at it, mashallah. But when you actually start washing it, something else happens. Right? And even when you describe it, the person doesn't get it. If you've never done it, you say, brother, you should wash the body because it's, you know, you don't realize your back of your hair and the neck stands up. And the guy goes, he doesn't get it. You have to do it. And as soon as you just get hold of a limb, all of a sudden, there's that shock, thinking, there's nothing there, it's gone. Wash your dead, for truly in the touching of an empty body, there's an eloquent lesson. What's the lesson? He's not talking to you. The lesson is, wasn't he with you? Wasn't he talking to you? Wasn't he with you in your life? With your highs and lows? Now you can't even wash his own body. You have to do it. Indeed, can one be any closer to an individual than at that inevitable time? Consider also, it is related that a man was highly praised in the presence of our beloved messenger. So think about that. You got the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and somebody was praised. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked the Sahaba this question: how is your companion's remembrance of death? They said, he hardly mentions it, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said, then your companion is not as you suggest. Why are you praising him? SubhanAllah. This is in Ahmad in his Zuhd number 24, Bazar in his Musnad, Ibn al-Mubarak in his Zuhd number 90, Abu Nu'im 7-290, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 10-309, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 10 of the New English Translation. Now think about this. The Sahaba are praising. That's not like me and you. So this man, they're praising. He's still alive. He's not dead. He's still alive. He wasn't there. And they're praising him. They're, oh, you know, imagine what they're saying about him. When the Prophet ﷺ enters, he asks one question. Does your companion tell me about his remembrance of death? Look how interesting. Apply it to yourself. Forget about that noble. He's Sahaba. Apply it to yourself. When you hear somebody praising somebody, say, brother, just quick question, does he talk about death a lot? Be honest, what's the response going to be? 90%? No. The Prophet said, then your companion is not as you suggest. Why are you praising him? Now think about that. Therefore, if you remember death frequently, what does that mean? Who's praising you? Rasulullah. Think about that. If you know a person who's talking about death frequently, 100%, he's a good person. Isn't that true? How can he not be a good person if Rasulullah is praised him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But how many of those people are there? People that talk about death and the guy starts choking. He goes, oh, you spoiled my day, brother. Why have you mentioned death? Look how ill the bachara is, right? You just talked it, mentioned the word, the guy's choking. And yeah, he should be saying to you, brother, Jazakallah khair, keep telling me about this. I need the reminder. And these are the people that Prophet said are the ones that to be praised. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to finish, our beloved messenger went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sufficient is death as a divider. SubhanAllah. Sufficient is death as a divider, i.e. of what you are now so enamored with. Look at the people in the ring about headless chicken, right? And then you go, sufficient is death to separate them. Look at the sledgehammer statement the prophet made. Isn't it true? What will stop that headless chicken running? Death. He'll forget his koti. He'll forget his land. He needs that smash. But the prophet wasn't saying wait for the smash. He's saying wake up before the smash. So what did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sufficient is death as a divider. Look at the words, even in English. How short, succinct, and powerful. Sufficient is death as a divider. Recorded by Ibn As-Sini in his Amal al-Yawm, number 164, Ibn Abi Dunya, Hafiz Zabidi in his Al-Ithaf, 10-229, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 10 of the New English Translation. So, subhanallah, why are we thus so in love with what is temporal and most oblivious to what is inevitable? Let me say that again. Subhanallah. Why are we thus so in love with what is temporal and most oblivious to what is inevitable? Look at these words the scholars come out with, you know, deep statements. You're in love with something. It's like being in love with ice. Well, ice is melting. No, you don't understand my eyes here. Right? And then you're trying to say, look, it's going to go, it's going. As you're speaking, it's melting. You go, no, right? And then it melts, and then what happens? And the same time, he is oblivious to death, which is a reality. Isn't that a sick person? Right? Your dunya is ice. Everything is ice. Meaning, don't get attached to it. Be intelligent. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Sufficient is death as a divider. You'll only understand when death strikes. Everything is left. And then the people start fighting over it in court. He's in his grave, bichara, right? You're fighting over his, his hard-earned wealth in court. MashaAllah, innit? Fantastic way to remember the dead, innit? MashaAllah. And the funny thing is, when the person leaves the world, everybody's saying, oh, you go, this goes to you. You go, oh, I wouldn't even accept it, but I'll take it. And then the other one gets something. He goes, no, he gets it. I'm happy because, you know, so-and-so gave it to him. Yeah, thy line is in court. Whoa, sort of bakwas came out of your mouth when somebody died. Right? Who are you trying to lie? Who are you lying to? Think about that, innit? Right? And it also shows you didn't give a monkeys about it. You're waiting for him to go. Astaghfirullah. In fact, they even say it. Non-Muslims, you really expect that. Can't wait for him to go. Why? He needs a snooker table upstairs, right? To come out with, you know, crazy statements like this. Astaghfirullah, right? They're not Muslims. Is that what we're waiting for? For death to divide. Astaghfirullah. And to finish. How poignant, therefore, were the words of Mutarrif ibn Abdullah ibn al-Shakhir, rahmatullah alayhi, when he said, death has spoiled the pleasure of those that seek pleasure. Therefore, seek out that pleasure in which there is no death. Death has indeed spoiled the pleasure of those that seek pleasure. Therefore, seek out that pleasure in which there is no death. Imam Ghazali records this in his Ihya in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 12 of the New English Translation. Think about it. Every lowly pleasure that you're indulged in, what spoils it when you think about it? Death. Right? Any sin that you're committing, you're going to die. You think, ooh, right? A little shock moment. It's spoiling your pleasure. So why don't you go for that pleasure in which you don't have that problem? Think about it in paradise. When you're enjoying something in paradise, are you going to think, death? Death? You probably can't slap you're in paradise. What death? I'm enjoying myself. That's not going to get in the way. There's the pleasure. You're putting it here. Astaghfirullah. Thus, is it not true that whatever pleasures, sadly, many a time from that which is haram, we indulge in, the mere thought of death installs instantly and spoils it. Thus, would it not be most wise and prudent for those who seek pleasure than to strive for them which death has no access to? Subhanallah. And who said that? I'm not just making things up. One of the Salaf, Mutarrif ibn Abdullah ibn al-Shakhin, who was he talking to? You get his impression, he saw something. And it's true, innit? You know, people take drugs, maza, innit? But that's gonna finish it. Another one, you know, out in town. right? Nightclubbing, right? That's gonna finish it. What are you doing, brother? Locking it, jarring it. That's gonna finish it. What are you doing? Right? There's no exception to the rule. And somebody goes, well, invest it into the akhirat. And the beautiful thing is that Allah has given you more than enough lawful pleasures. You get rewarded for. But Allah Ta'ala beautifies the haram. That's, you know, that's shaitan's job, to beautify the haram. Look at all the lawful things. Enough. It was interesting. If you ask a person, mention the haram, he'll rattle it. When you say mention the halal, he struggles. That's interesting, isn't it? Right? You go, brother, haram. But I did not swear. Full kitab comes out. What's halal, brother? Strawberries. Apples. And he starts struggling. And guess what? There's more halal than haram. Much more. That's your nafs and shaitan doing tag team on you. All the things that are haram, there's 10 things that are halal. And you say, I can't do it, can't keep out of the haram. As if Allah has been unjust to you. He put you in a straitjacket. Astaghfirullah. You're not in a straitjacket, you're in a cocoon, mate, of stupidity. Astaghfirullah. Right? So no death. Death is the thing that truly wakes you up. So all I mentioned today was basically, again, talking about the most important matter of preparing for the eternal afterlife. And note whether it's the Quran, whether it's the Sunnah, whether it's the Sahaba, whether it's the Salaf, the same maqsad. You need to prepare. You need to wake up out of the slumber before it's too late. Astaghfirullah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان في خصر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصي بالحق ونواصي بالصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم